you think Barack Obama is enjoying, you are ignorant. That day was talking during a gay meeting. I knew the man was lying to himself, and I was feeling sorry for him. He was saying things he did not believe. He needs prayers. He's not enjoying nothing. There's no enjoyment. Go and watch Bill Clinton after 8 years in office. He grew 20 years older. How some guy like this, when he enter office, hey, Baba. When he come off office, oh, boy, I don't tire. Who won the election? Take, and they go. But Paul was worn out. Enjoyment. I said, how many people believe the American president enjoyed? They put up their hands. I said, all right. And they thought that, you know, they expected a pastor with fire and brimstone. You too, we enjoy. I didn't say anything like that. I said, how many people believe that the Enugu state governor is enjoying? All those ignorant hands went back up. I said, how many people want to become governors also so that they can't enjoy? All the hands went up again. Hi! I said, all of you, this is why you will never be a governor. Which kind of cost be this one? Just by the way, I did that many years ago also. I said, how many people believe that 10% of their income belongs to God? They put up their hands. I said, let me repeat it again. How many of you believe that 10% of your income belongs to God? They put up their hands. All of you have your hands up. You are all thieves and robbers. They look like, what? As any Christian who says 10% belongs to God has claimed 90%. He's a thief and a robber. And I have a scripture to support it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. He died for all that he might collect 100% of their income. Is there? I paraphrase it. Go and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 15. That's just by the way. I said to them, I said, oh, this is why you will never be a governor. Who? The people were amazed. I said, this is a problem with Nigeria. We still think people in political offices are supposed to be enjoying. It is a responsibility. There's no enjoyment there. What am I saying? If you enter into office and your brain is not an enjoyment brain. Okay, then I'll say it another way. My friend and I were talking today. He's a pastor. He was telling me things. There was one where he pastors. They did a major program. Listen to me. And before the program, he prayed to God that, please. It was like God saying, what do you want me to do? That kind of thing. But he just prayed his prayer and said, Lord, I want 100 people to give their lives to Christ who were not Christians before. Are you getting my point? And listen to this. And I don't care whether they come to our church or not. He said when the program began. Are you following me? That, let me call it the long story. At the end of the program, when they gave an altar call, 140 people, adults, got up to give their life to Christ. At the 120, either 120 or 140, told me. He said he saw, you know, I've told you that all this one that you need to be persuading people. Do you dream at night? Is there one woman that comes to you, meet you when you are sleeping and wakes you up? You are possessed. you never see. He said, this one, he saw demon-possessed people manifest. And he's not into demonology. He said, there was a young woman who began to, that he saw demons tear people up and down. He was praying for the girl. She took off, he catch her and bring her back. He said, I told the devil, you are going now today, not tomorrow, today. That the evil spirit tore the person to pieces like this. It went out by force. The guy's head corrected immediately. I told him something. Now listen. What is happening is this. Let me not forget one part. He said the whole church was excited. This was such a successful program. He now jokingly told some of his men, do you know how much offering we collected? I don't want to tell you the figure.
What?
He was tiny. He was small. And he laughed. He said, it's good for you people to understand that ministry, I'm adding my own words now, that ministry costs money and it's not a money-making venture. The people were surprised because normally, if you see, look, the number of people that were at the program were over 2,000. Or close to 2,000, if not over. I mean, quite a number of people. And at the end of the day, I told him simply, I said, you see, you know what God did for you? As a preacher, that's what preachers are. That's how they're supposed to think. The Lord essentially asks you, what do you want me to do? I want to win souls. I said, listen to me. The same manner one day, you will bow your head and scratch it and say, Lord, I think we need like 5 million naira for this. And two people will walk in and give you 5 million naira. I said, two people will walk in and give 5 million. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to emphasize? That I told him that, listen, the issue is that you have the mind, that is, this is how preachers are supposed to think. I said, it's because you are thinking like that, that you are seeing that kind of demonstration of the power of God. That's where I'm going. I said, it's because you are thinking like that, that's why you are seeing that kind of demonstration of the power of God. Tell any political office holder you know that this is what God says. If you enter into office and pray the prayer of Solomon, there is nobody big enough that can gang up and remove you from that seat. Let them withdraw your security details. They will not be able to do anything against you. Let them plant bombs. It will explode upon them and upon their children. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting the point I'm making? Why? Because, see, you know, it is not, people say, it's not what you ask for from God alone that you get. Many things you will get in life, you did not ask for them. What you just did was to do the work that is pleasing to God. You are getting the point I'm making? All you did was to do the work that is pleasing to God, and He will give you things far beyond what you ever imagined. Let me say to you one more time, so I can leave it finally. It's not possible to tie any act of goodness to any specific reward. You can make commitments, like I do once in a while, that, Lord, this is the kind of thing I would like, but I have left it for you to do it for me. And this is what I am going to do so that you will know that I have left that one. I don't know what I get what I'm going to explain. For example, maybe you wanted to build... Hey, what can I give an illustration now? You were thinking of building a great business. Normally, you wake up early in the morning and go out late at night. Go come back home late at night. You go out early in the morning. After you have done that for 3 years, and you yourself have seen that that business has been going around in circles. Then one day you hear a correct gospel that says that only the Lord, all right, can do it for you. So you now say, Lord, eh? Now listen, you are not tying this act of good work to receiving. What you are just simply doing is saying that I'm forsaking my own strength. So Lord, from now, every morning, I will wake up, take my Bible, and read, and sing a few songs, and read a book, and I will not leave my house until 8 o'clock. And no midweek service will I miss in my church. Are you getting my point? I don't care whether Bill Gates wants to start a network of local Microsoft entrepreneurs, and they gave him my name that Bill Gates is coming to see me. If he comes on, let's assume you are a Wednesday person or a Tuesday event, like we're here on Tuesday, say, hey, sorry, Brother Bill, pastor is preaching. You come after. I will say, only from $500 million for this project. They say, oh boy, I need peace of mind, long life, and prosperity to enjoy that business. Don't be so. Say this, let me go and get the long life, peace of mind, and prosperity first, spiritual prosperity, before I talk to you. You get what I'm saying? You make that kind of vow to God. It is not, I mean, what have you done for Him? None of these things. Nothing. Those are the kind of things that I'm saying when I mean that you can make commitments to God, not as if you are doing the act of good works so as to get from Him, but you are saying that that one I have left it for you. Of course, no temptation. That's what they call temptation. The first day like this, eh? She even know 8, she said no will come out. 7:30, 9, your phone will ring. Your friend go say, oh boy, where you dey? He said, what thing they happen? At their house. They won't come out now. Who? The GM of that steel company that wants to supply those rods at 20% discount. Hey! Where is he going? Once he flies, he's going back to India. Yee. Okay, tell us how they come. He said, he's leaving the next 20 minutes. He said, I know they come out house at 8 o'clock. He said, what? Listen, let me tell you ahead of time. It's called temptation. What did I call it? Temptation. Mm-hmm. And by nature, temptations are what? Thank you. Temptations are tempting. Temptations are what? Tempting. That one. Tell. In fact, you know the best way to solve it. Tell the man, this is temptation. I have a law which is operational for the next 5 years that I'm not leaving this house until 8 o'clock. And you guys say, well, you don't lose them without that. They say, yes, I know I don't lose them. Coins the phone. Some people say, Pastor Banky, as soon as I put off the phone, the Holy Spirit let me know that the flight will not take off till 10. Now, like, get there, 7:45, the flight left. You think it's every time God gives back Isaac? There are many people who took Isaac to the altar. God, they watched them. The knife came down. Say, God, you're not going to tell me I stop. He said, no, no, no. He said, you're not stopping. God. He said, wait, I'm about to cut his neck. He said, go ahead. That's why we came here. He said, the neck is bleeding. He said, go ahead. I'm about to read the carotid. Lord, what are you saying? I said, kill him. When the time of Abraham, you said he should take him and take a lamb. Did you forget to bring the lamb in the replacement? I'm going to read my book. Great faith can be yours. I said, sometimes Isaac die. They do. So don't think it's every time. I just told that man, I will not agree. And do you know, he still signed it. Most of the time, they won't sign it. You will not agree. The contract ain't coming out. Do you get my point? Don't think God, you know, God, he just tease people. Hey, I was just playing with you. Nah, lie. And then he says, take. And I just play. No. So don't try him. Don't think I'll just tell God that we obey. Then the point of obedience, I know he'll change his mind. Forget. He ain't changing his mind. And for information, Abraham was not counting on his changing his mind. That was why he changed his mind. Do you follow the point I'm making? You will refuse to go out, you will lose the first business that will appear as if that was the breakthrough. It's called temptation. It's called the trial of your faith, which is working out patience. He said, Lord, they said this man is going. I pray for him that he'll have a smooth flight and not have the power to tempt me again. It's a good prayer. And you continue. Once it's 8 o'clock, start getting ready to leave the house. What I'm trying to say is that you are doing those things not because, what have you done for the Lord directly? Nothing. But what you have done is that you have told that, no, it's not my strength anymore. Any blessing you won't give me now, and I don't want it. That's why I have never understood. God prospers a man small. And then that's it. He disappears from where he used to hear the word of God. And I say, what happened? He said, oh God, I've been very busy. I might not talk first like that. There are different ways by which God responds. And I ask people, say, okay, all the years that Papa wanted to cripple you, what happened to you? Did you not survive? 2 hours, once a week, suddenly you are too busy. Satan is very wicked, though. What did I say? He's very wicked. Don't play into his hands. And say, Pastor, I know. People make it look like you go to hear the word of God because you have nothing else to do. And like, and then the one that told you used to make me laugh. People are going and preaching places. In Enugu here. They say, Pastor Bang, I was so blessed. I was so blessed by that ministration. Hallelujah. Where can I get your materials? Where can I get? Why did you leave Cosmo FM? I said, Cosmo FM left me. I didn't leave them. Okay. Why didn't you go to Repower? Why did you not go to ASBS? Why didn't you go to... I said, but wait, excuse me, sir. Do you live in Enugu or you come from Abakaliki to work in Enugu? He said, I live in Enugu here. There is a place called number 1A Chime Avenue. Pastor Banky still preaches there every Saturday. Hey, what time? I said 5 o'clock. Oh, 5 o'clock. Oh. 5 o'clock is when I wash my clothes. I hear all kinds of stupid things. I'm very busy during the week. That is when I go to market. I hear all kinds of worldly, satanic, and silly excuses. That's when they do the rich also cry. You hear things almost as silly as that. So I say, okay, yeah, you are really busy. You watch Bold and Beautiful. You are really very busy. Or is it man you and asking that, oh, you are a very busy man. And I say, I should bring message on radio so it can come to your bedroom free of charge. You can't walk, I can't come here. They make you look as if you go to hear the word of God out of nothing else to do. So when I say, where is your church? I want to come. My mind, even if I had a church, I don't want people like you. It's one of the reasons why I don't even like to pastor a church. You know why? I don't like people, you know, it's Sunday morning. I've seen people jump out from nightclub into church service. As soon as service is over, back into the nightclub, they boogie till morning because it's December 31st. I said, I don't want. What am I saying? There are times you make sacrifices just to let the Lord know that I left that one so that you can take care of it. I've digressed plenty, I know. But I know where I started from. I know how I got to where I am. If you think I'm confused, I'm not confused. I know where I got to these places. I was emphasizing the fact that you can't tie good works to a particular reward. But there are times you just leave things for God to do and it appears as if your good works brought it to pass. No, that good work is just a reflection of the fact that I've left that one for God. And I started by saying the fact that, stating the fact that prayer is work. And I went into explain the fact that, listen, you should not ever kill the potency of your seed by using that as a bargaining chip when you are praying. You pray based on mercy. You pray based on what? Grace. That's what you use. You use your faith. That's very good. Thank you for that. Faith, all right, produces grace. So based on your faith and based on your mercy, you come to God and you leave the rest. Now back to where I started the whole digression from. We're talking about prayer. That there's prayer with reward. When you pray prayers that are doing, producing reward, answers that may not necessarily be directly beneficial to you, then what God gives you is a reward. I said sometimes because of the kind of matter that is up, are you getting my point? Because it has to do with things beyond you yourself. It has to do with nations. It has to do with things much greater than an individual. Sometimes the answer cannot even come in one generation. But in that generation, God gives you a reward. After Jeremiah prayed and prayed, God said, I'll do one thing for you. I'll give you your life as a booty. And they will kill everybody around you. Nobody will be able to touch you. That I'm giving to you because of this agony of your soul concerning the matter that's going on. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, a man, Simeon by name, he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God said, the only thing I will do for you as a reward, one day I will make you smile. What is it? I will let you see the salvation of God before you go on. The man was supposed to die before then. So God kept him alive. And the day he heard the boy cry, he said, now that thy servant can depart in peace. Are you getting my point? God just did that one for me. And listen, let me just tell you this. There are blessings that God will pour upon your descendants. There are great grandchildren that will you see, in life, you don't know why God is blessing some people. You've decided that this guy, he should die. Lord, the soul that sinned, he shall die. But he's a grandson of a man who I swore to bless for the next 3 generations. One day, a man was analyzing some of the great industrialists in Nigeria for me. I don't know whether he was very accurate, but it gives you a very good idea what I'm talking about. He mentioned about 2 or 3 of them. You may not like them. You can see all kinds of things about them. There are names that when I mention, these are people that they control economies in Nigeria. And I tell you that his father was a catechist. To an average person, not discerning, you understand, you won't realize what that means. He was not a word man. He was just a catechist. But you too, be a catechist when everybody in your village was nobody. You know what it means to be a catechist. Try be a catechist when everybody is worshiping that one in the home video. Amadioha. Try it. Be a catechist then too. He may not have been a very powerful man as a catechist. He might just be one lowly man riding his bicycle. But God ensured that he could push his children to those mission schools. And the blessing for being a catechist in the midst of idolatry came upon his children. Generations later, they put 10 million in their back pocket and they are not even born again. And you don't understand what's going on. You did not face idolatry as a catechist like their father did. And the Bible says houses and riches are from fathers. Fathers can leave houses and riches for their children. That's what I mean by reward. There are things people do. Some of the, you know, I told you before, people say that he got to Yonggicho and go and learn the principles of building a 1 million man church. It is possible. Home sale. Go to Lagos. Home sale was armed robbers that were running them. As you are doing home sale today, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All the money in your pocket. Oh, that I shoot somebody. After that, Bishop Oedipo closed home sale in Lagos. I don't they do it again. There's no secret in home sale. Go and ask a Yonggicho. I told that sometimes he himself does not know how. All the Bible says. When I read, you know, there are things that were happening. My spiritual discernment would say, something is missing, something is missing. Then later I heard about, I think, Assemblies of God or one church that for decades and maybe 100 years before he was born, they were praying for that country. They plowed the land, harrowed it, sowed the seeds. Then when he came in, Jesus said, other men labored, but you have come into the harvest. You have entered into their labor. So he said, arise. The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. Let me teach you a few principles to gather in the harvest that other men labored for years ago. But those who do understand, they come and say, it's home sale. It's home sale. They finish that. They say it is by using technology. We start fooling ourselves. When the true work done, nobody did it at that time. There was no CNN, and CNN does not report to those who are praying at home. You know that? How many times have you seen today we are doing a special program on spiritual undertone movement, undercurrent in yet to be revivaled? You like my English there? In areas that revival is yet to happen. You never seen them like that on Al Jazeera or CNN or even on TBN. They don't know. All they show is the one going on the surface. And the one that God rewards openly is done where? In the closet, where no TV cameras are to be found. And where God even put a commandment, thou shalt not invite a TV cameraman into your prayer zone. I've told you, when you see Nigeria prays. Eh? It's good though. If they say you should come, you two join. But hear this, that's not the answer. That's not the prayer God is answering. He said, Pastor, how do you know? Because it's been prayed in the open. It's on TV. It's on television. It's on newspapers. Government is sponsoring. They are releasing cars to go and carry Nigerian prayers. Government is signing checks to support Nigerian prayers. You should know that God is not answering that prayer. The one he's answering, some of them don't speak English. The one is answering, some of them never left their villages. The one is answering, some of them are primary school teachers. Who after everybody has gone home, they will just bow their heads on their lockers. The one is answering, some of them are civil servants. All they've carried all their lives is files. They're members of SU. You don't know. The one is answering. They will just enter toilet at 12 o'clock. You think they won't go easy in the line. They have a covenant with God at 12 o'clock every day. 12 o'clock, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. When everybody has gone to go and eat lunch at 1, that's when they go for one small fellowship in the office. And they join their hands, bow their heads, and cry to God for the nation. You will never, ever find it on the pages of the newspaper. Never. except you know the theory behind it that we are discussing, you will never know it happened. God doesn't look, like I told you, some of those people, all he will bless is their children. Every child they have will just be intelligent. They will be in the midst of bomb exploding. Wham! They will come out of the center and say, Kai, he almost bombed my cloth. And they look around and find that 18 people are dead. And their own is like, hey, and last week I just dry cleaned this suit. Why? Because his father prays and God swore to him that you will never cry on any of your children. That's what they call reward. Or the one that they put on television, a national coordinator of the Redeemed Prayer and Incorporated Christian Assembly, distributing the modern day anointing. And you wear one long cap and say, it shall be well with Nigeria. You should just know God is not answering that prayer. And if you're a preacher, when you see a reporter, disappear. There's one man I saw on TV. I said, this guy is a fake pastor. Is backsliding and he needs repentance. They showed him picture, chaka, sitting beside the swimming pool in his expensive mansion in the Koyi, or is he in VI? What apostle, or is he prophet? So they mentioned his name. What he wears, is it the to go pose like Michael Jackson? And I read through the interview. I didn't see the Lord be praised in one place. All I saw is, oh, my suits. Sometimes people go abroad, and when they are coming back, they know the kind of suits I wear. They know the kind of suits I wear. No, my watches, they are Bulgaris, and Rolex, Patek Philippe, Audemars Piguet, you know. Perfume, as a man of God, your radiance. I said, this guy is a fake pastor, or he's backsliding, he does not know. They now give you 3 pages in the newspaper. Once you see it like that, just know your anointing is about to go, you're about to die. And they start, if they photograph you without your knowing, I'm not the vex. For you to not sit down, praise God. This is the dining table. It was made in Italy. Hallelujah. And city people put you inside. You should know that something is wrong with your head. And I've digressed into that one. I just like to warn people, because sometimes madness has crept into our souls. We don't realize. It's insidious. So gently. And I say, God, the glory of God. He said, right now, God's glory is being shown. Can you see? Last time in the government house, we were amongst the people praying for the bishop, for the governor. Hallelujah. Yes. Me too, I'm now driving an Armada. Amen. Infiniti QX65. The glory of God would never allow me to drive anything less than the newest model. So I change my car every year. And this is the page of newspaper. You should go on retreat. The one I'm making anyway is that the prayers that God answers are not necessarily the one we see on the pages of newspapers. Let me just tell you, what should you use media for? If you're a preacher, use them to preach. That's it. Don't even bother expressing your political views. They will twist it out of context. You won't love yourself after. If it's television, say it must be a live program. And I want to preach. If the man is going to harass you, say, you see, Jesus has overcome the devil. By the time you say 3 times, they will cut the program. The evil spirit in him won't let him rest. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Really, I hope you are blessed today. If you are blessed, say amen. Amen. Say another amen to encourage me now. Wait. God bless you very much. The thing I wanted to preach, really, I will get into it next time. I wanted to get on talking about that will. You know, the center of prayer is always the will of God. And I wanted to just explain that. Prayer is not about fighting enemies. It's not about making yourself happy. Though in the process, enemies will be overcome. Amen. And you will be happy. Amen. But the central matter of prayer is the will of God. And like we say all the time, we're talking about the sayings of God. God has a will concerning everything. He said, beloved, I wish above all things. The elder John was speaking, and he was speaking the mind of God, having been a Christian for all those years, and having been personally taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. We pray that into existence because that is the will of God. Not because we desire health. Not because we desire prosperity primarily. Though it's good, we desire it. But because we know it is the will of God. We know it's the will of God that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. We know it's the will of God. When you hear me say all the time that anybody who rises up, it's all this shouting, Boko Haram, Boko Haram. You understand? It's when you want to cast out evil spirits, they get violent. At the end of all of this, Islam won't raise his mouth to talk again. Because the earth must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. That's what prayer is about. Prayer is not about what I like or what you like. Prayer is about what? The will of God. That's why every Christian... Look, he said, draw near. Or right, when you are drawing near, he said, watch your steps when you come near to the temple. Draw near to do what? To listen. Otherwise, all you will be doing is offering up the sacrifices of fools. And that's the unfortunate part. A lot of things we do in life, in my opinion, the most important book I ever wrote is the one titled How to Work for God. Because a lot of Christians are offering up the sacrifices of fools. People stay up all night. Are you getting my point? Offering up the sacrifices of fools. Why? They did not bother to draw near to listen. Prayer is about the will of God. That's why we must draw near first to listen. We'll continue into that next time. If you're blessed today, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.